Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Keeping It Brief, a place to discuss and enjoy all aspects of the written brevity. I hope everyone's having a great day. I am. It's a pleasure now to introduce my fellow captives. We have Captain B2 and Dan
Yeehaw!
Ellison. Yeehaw! Hiya, Captain. Hi, Bobby. How are you doing, my dear?
I had to kick up my heels.
I love that song. I love that song. Great, thank you. And would you be able to pick up and put links into brevity for me?
What would you like me to do?
Could you pick up the links and put them into the brevity on the brevity board for me?
You know, I think I'm up checked for that.
And yes, could
it may take me a while to navigate here, but
that's okay. I can do it.
You set yourself down. Let me see what I can do here.
And also, if you could then allocate a reader, that would be so cool. Thank you. And also, we have Dan Ellison with us. Dan, hello. How are you?
Doing good. How is everybody?
Ooh, we have testosterone? I love it.
Yes, we have.
I can't promise to bring a lot.
Okay, a little bit will do. Okay, my darlings, right. We're all set.
Okay. I'm trying to get tea up here. And, oh, here we go. Here we go. I had a, just as I was about to get on, my handyman is at the door. He's doing some outside work for me, so I don't have to go crawling through my flower bed to get my hose bib. Okay.
Oh, good.
So let's see. We got carryovers from the previous show.
Mm-hmm.
So let me harvest one of those. Whoops. Oh, come on. Don't do that.
You have no idea the problems
I've
had
running
today.
Gun battle with my computer.
Yeah, me.
Okay.
I have such trouble. I'm on two things. I'm on my
Got it.
Okay, I got it set up pretty good. I got it open up in two different windows.
Yes.
Did it show up?
It's quite scary when you know you've got a time limit.
There we go.
There we are, lovely. Bowling, yes.
We have Naughty the Kitty Poet, or the Kitty the Naughty Poet.
Well, would you like me to go ahead and read this one?
All right.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
I thought I'd gone off again.
I'm all sticky thumbs this morning, or this afternoon.
It's okay. It's been a terrible last 5 minutes, so we can all relax now. We're all here. Didn't think it was going to happen, babe. Okay,
no,
I'll go ahead and read this one. Dan, are you okay to put that link onto Late Night Poets board?
Did it? It didn't show up for you?
Oh, I'm not watching that one. Sorry, I'm watching the Brevity one. I just wanted to make sure you were okay.
Yeah, I have. I think it's up.
Thank you so much. It'll get better. Believe me, it will get better. The drunker I get, the better the show is. Okay, I'm only on my first. Okay, be sensible now, woman. Kitty the Naughty Poet. Shining smiles like the sunshine on a bright summer's evening. As little feet enter the building, all excited for the game. Rolling the ball down the alley like thunder rolls across the autumn skies. The ball hitting the bumper on both sides. Striking the pins like a flash of lightning strikes through the winter night, and jumping for joy when most of the pins go down. Opening the game like the clouds open on a cold spring day, as little feet step up to take their next aim. End poem. Bobby, would you like to tell us what you think about that lovely little piece of work?
I love the picture. The colorful book. Very colorful. And it's a great way to start the show. It's great visual imagery, great sensory imagery. The rolling the ball down the alley like thunder rolls across the autumn skies. A great auditory. Striking the pins like a flash of lightning strikes through the winter night. Here's a person who loves bowling. and actually, it is a lot of fun. You get a great sense of accomplishment. And opening the game like the clouds open on a cold spring day, and little feet stepped up to take their next aim. The author's note, took my children bowling, and my seven-year-old opened the game for us. We had so much fun, I wanted to write about it. How beautiful. How beautiful. That's
yes.
The wonderful reason to write this charming brevity, because really fun with your children. What a great way to memorialize it. I love this piece.
Yes, I thought it was lovely. And Dan, would you like to make a comment, please?
Sure. It starts off with shining smiles, and I have to say this one put a smile on my face as well, because I have a little history bowling myself, and, you know, taking the little ones too, and there is nothing like it. And I think that Kitty really captured this here. The ball rolling down like thunder and hitting the bumpers on both sides. That's especially true of, me too, because I'm not great. But this one had me smiling all throughout it. And isn't that what poetry is supposed to do, is invoke a feeling in you? So mission accomplished, you know?
Yes, I agree entirely. Beautiful. And the way she brings in all the different aspects of the weather, to put the two things together, the thunder of the balls rolling, I think it was just really, really inspired. I love it. I actually ran a 16-lane bowling alley. And the best fun ever was a Saturday night, because the people who were drinking a little bit too much would try and run down the lane and kick the pins over. and they didn't realize it was oiled halfway down, so down they went, and their feet kicked them over. Then you had to rescue them from out. Oh, such a laugh. What a great
job. You really throwing your ball into the wrong lane.
Oh, yes. Isn't that embarrassing? Oh, I once switched off all 16 lanes by mistake by hitting the wrong thing. And luckily I could just click it again, and they all came back up, and I'm going, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? Oh, yes, beautifully written, Kitty. We really enjoyed that, and it took me back to my bowling alley days as well. So that was excellent.
Well, then,
Thank you so much.
I have to share this with you. We, when I was in the Marine Corps, we moved into a renovated dependence quarters that they turned into a barracks, and the floors were in pretty bad shape, the wooden floors. Someone, somewhere, we couldn't get somebody to own it, got the bright idea. So they waxed the upper deck lounge floor. Bowling alley wax. Nobody, it was like an ice skating rink. Nobody could walk on it.
No wonder they didn't own up. Can you imagine it? That was me. Oh, dear. That would have been terrible.
I hadn't thought about that in years.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, before we go on.
Okay.
I have the next one for you. Thank you. Just before we go on, though, we have to welcome Dashpat. Dashpat, hello.
Good. Hey, everybody.
Hello, my dear. How nice to hear you.
It's nice to be here.
Oh, great. Excellent. Thank you. Well, you're up to date. We're just going to go on to the next one now. Did you hear that one? Would you like to make a comment about it?
I did not hear that one.
That's okay. Not a problem at all. Right. Bobby, my dear person, could you bring up the next one, please? Bobby, are you mutating?
It should be up. I should be up on both.
I'm mutating. It's up there.
It's just me. Okay. Told you my machine is just not playing games. Oh, yes, we have it now. Okay. Would you like to allocate a reader, or will I do that?
Oh, please. You do the you drive the bus. How's that?
Oh, goody. You know, I've never passed a test except on a motorbike, so you're in safe hands. Oh, okay.
The slow lane.
Yeah, I love a slow lane. Dan, would you like to read this?
Sure. This is Of Lovers and Purple Stained Flowers, Lavender Presses on Skin. Violet Ode is a reminiscence to how lovers wed in secret, traumatizing flowers that unfurl to a kiss. In poem.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Isn't it lovely? Bobby, would you like to comment on this one, please?
No, because I just took a bite of my sandwich.
Multitasking, eh?
I like it. Multitasking. Yum, 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 yum. Dash, would you like to make a comment about this, please?
Sure. I didn't review if this was for a contest or something, but I think it was something to do with colors, and I love the way the author uses colors in the poem here.
Yes, I agree with that. That is exactly it's actually our very own Hako Pako who wrote this one.
Yeah,
it's very good. I enjoyed it. And Dan, would you like to make a comment, please?
Well, I've been reading a lot of Harco stuff here online, too. And does anyone know Harco's real name? Is that a last name?
His name is Adam.
Adam, okay. And Adam does a wonderful job. This is on, I guess, Brevity Writers. Does a wonderful job of doing so much with so little. And it was written to a prompt I'm seeing here. It's Shades of Purple. And I see how he definitely worked that in. But the word choices was always, just spot on. traumatizing flowers that unfurl to a kiss. I mean, that's just beautiful in and of itself. And that's just, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven words. But it always flows, and this is no exception.
Yes, I agree totally. I'm looking at it and just think, I mean, these are the colors that I love. Like, my family are like oranges and yellows and blue, that kind of color. Me, it's blue and lavender and violet, and oh, yeah, this is perfect. Lavender presses on skin.
It brings to mind spring, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Violets. I love the little violets. I love the little wild ones. They just look so cute. So, yes, as you say, he can push so much into so little when it comes to 22 words. 22 words, and you've got everything that you would need to know what's happening with these lovers and their wedding in secret. Yes, I think it's absolutely lovely. Well done, Harkle-Puckle. Bobby. Bobby, are you chewing less now?
I have swallowed and I am free.
Now, okay, would you like to comment?
Yes, I recall a couple of shows ago, I pronounced Adam's style very much like Japanese flower arranging, which is called Hibana, which has very and I will stick by that because he takes. He's very minimalist, but he does with what he does. He makes it. He makes beauty without any excess. That's what I think this is of lovers and purple stained flowers. Beautiful title, and very evocative. Very short piece. Beautiful.
Yes. We're all in agreement on that. The color choices, apart from anything else, just make it so beautiful. But yes, I just don't know how he does it. I really don't. I'm going to have to do some studying because I always use six words when one is more than enough. So, oh, dear. Yes. I must try and be a bit briefer. Even when I'm doing this, would be better. Okay, thank you, Bobby. We've got the next one up. And the next one is Cathedral of the Past. And... Dan, would you like to read this?
Sure. This is, like you said, Cathedral of the Past. And I love the picture here. It looks ominous. I haven't even got into it yet, and it looks ominous. Cathedral of the Past stands, Cathedral of the Past stands sentry. Strings from a violin wafting softly. Wind carrying notes, a messenger. Night song takes wing, flies free. My body, a stone statue among shadows, whiskey spilling from silenced lips, love's tide washing away footsteps, drifting off as an untethered ship, fate cast, upon shores no longer in my sight, dark woods a cold canopy over me, etched in silhouettes of black, swaying the song, haunted and ghostly. Well, yeah, this is a great picture for this piece. I have trouble reading some of the fonts on here, and this is I had a little bit of trouble reading this one for that, but
you did it very well. Thank you.
I didn't say in poem, did I?
That's okay. I was waiting for you, but that's all right. No problem. No, you did it very well because I understand what you mean about the fonts. They can be a little daunting, and it's not a very big font size either, which doesn't help. But yes, you did it wonderfully. Thank you so much for that. And Dash, would you like to make a comment about this?
Yes, I think this is hauntingly beautiful, and. The last stanza made me think of my son. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Yes, it was. Are you okay? You want to carry on? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Right. No problem, Dan. Just let me know. Yes, I agree. Very haunting. Bobby, would you like to make a comment about this?
Yes, I agree that the illustration, the image at the top is quite haunting. And I like the first line, Cathedral of Past Stands Sentry. What a wonderful way to reference an old forest. Wind carrying notes and messengers, night song takes wing. Very atmospheric piece, almost like Poe in its flavor. Very evocative, lots of very rich visual imagery. And as Dart said, very haunting. So just a beautifully done piece.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That is the very word for it. Those trees, I mean, you can imagine the wind whistling through them at nighttime. That'd be quite spooky. But a stone statue amongst the shadows, whiskey spilling from silenced lips, love's tide washing away footsteps drifting off as an untethered ship. I mean, that's so evocative, isn't it? I mean, you can see that. And the shore's no longer in my sight. Stranger songs, haunted and ghostly. It is very beautifully written. I really think this is, it gives you everything you need from those trees onwards. You know, it just builds and builds to the point where he's off, he's gone, he's off, no longer on the shores, losing his sight of the shores. Yes, I think that's a beautiful piece of work. Thank you very much, Jegs225, for that. It was lovely. What do we have next?
Well, it looks like we're into the 27 July show entries.
Okay,
the first one is Night Sky and Romance.
Mm. Pardon me while I refresh. Oh, that doesn't help. Just lock me down. Oh, dear. All right. Very good. Okay. Bobby, would you like to read this one?
Certainly.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, we have Night Sky. Charlie Romeo Lima 17. Standing on the porch in the early hours of the night, I turn my eyes to the sky above. It's a crystal clear evening. 1,000 stars light up the black curtain above. I hold you in my arms and we fall into our favorite game we call moonlighting. I point to a bright star and ask you to make a wish. Say it out loud and seal it with a kiss. End poem.
Lovely. Thank you. And Dan, would you like to make a comment on this?
Yes. It's very, it's actually very easy to digest, and I like the way that it's formatted, that it's almost like sentence. Standing on a porch in the early hours of the night, I turn. And it pauses right at the right spots, I think. My eyes to the sky above, the crystal clear evening, 1,000 stars light up. And it's helpful for someone that's a newbie like me that it is so easily digestible. And it really matches the picture that they chose here, but it does paint that, I don't know, those dates, you know, back when it was like, I've been married for 13 years, but you know, those dates when we would go out and like have a picnic out, you know, really kind of like the picture there, you know, and just company and the atmosphere is the date. And that's exactly what's going on here. And I think that they captured it beautifully.
Thank you. Yes, you are spot on with that one, definitely. And Dash, would you like to make a comment, my dear?
Yes. I think this is a very romantic poem. And I noticed that they make wishes on stars, but I always thought you were supposed to never tell anyone what you wished for. And they share it because they tell each other. And I I thought that was a unique romantic touch. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. I agree with that. Very romantic. Romance is not dead. It lives in brevity. I like it. Bobby, would you like to make a comment, my dear?
I agree with Janet. It's essentially one thought, which is lovely. And it is a very personal poem. A very this is a couple who has they have an established relationship, and they are indulging. Said, "Hold, fall into our favorite game we call moonlighting. I point to a star and ask you to make a wish. Say out loud and seal it with a kiss." And that just that speaks to me. The one thing that I think is so charming, and it's something that I miss personally because I don't have a partner any longer, is the shared history you can have with a person. And it gets so deep and so intimate that you can just look at one another and know. And that is one of the real beauties of having a relationship with someone, is that kind of intimacy.
Yes, I agree. It's not something you think about until something like this comes up. Yes, definitely. Now, I have to say I'm terribly sorry if I'm missing people out for either reading or commenting. I'm terribly sorry. I'm trying to get myself organized. So if I've left anybody out, I won't be doing it in future. So thank you very much for that. And now I don't know where I am. I've forgotten where I was. Okay. I think everybody's spoken, haven't they? Yes, they have. So we're ready for the next one.
I'm moving right along. I'm plugging it in right now.
Thank you, my darling.
We have Willows by Cedar Chapman.
Oh, lovely. I will read this one if you don't mind, because I haven't been doing much. So this is Cedar Chapman, and it's called Willows. Beautiful picture. Weeping willows wallow in its reflection, as limoncello leaves console with butterfly kisses, silver ripples slither from spring's echo, while swans long gone cast a solemn silence. The cold nippy breeze sings next winter's song. End poem. Dan, would you like to comment on this, my dear?
Yeah, this is beautiful. And it's how many lines? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines. And I see, you know, I see they got the picture here, but it's also put a picture in my mind of a track I take my dog through where, you know, you have the swans and the ducks and things like that, where they just, you know, wherever they go, they leave their footprint in the water. And that's kind of the same thing that they're saying here, only a lot better. Silver river and springs echo. That's beautiful. And then swans long gone cast a solemn silence. But I really liked how they ended it as well, with the breeze, how it seems to hint at the seasons to come, you know, that it's just almost timelessness in a way. But it's just the beauty of nature is what I pull out of this piece.
Yes. I agree, definitely. Lovely. And Dash, would you like to make a comment, please?
Absolutely. I've read some of Chapman's work, and I really appreciate the atmosphere and the imagery in his words. I felt like this was so well written that one line just fed into the other. I wanted to read it like one long sentence. And it's just a delicious read. I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, and you notice there's no punctuation. So in actual fact, you could do exactly what you would have wanted to do, which is make it one big long sentence. I quite agree, definitely. Bobby, would you like to make a comment, my dear?
This, again, is essentially one thought. Weeping Willow's Wallow in its reflection as lemon. Limoncello leaves. I like that. We used to have a Weeping Willow. Console with butterfly kisses, silver ripples. I agree with Dan. The last line is so evocative. The cold, nippy breeze sings next winter's song. That in itself, it could stand alone as a poem. It is just so compact, economical. It's so elegant in the whole piece is elegant. But that last line, that's craftsmanship. That's really well written. I really enjoyed this piece.
Yes, I agree. Mind you, I've always thought that nippy was a very Scottish word. I've not often seen it come up, and yeah, nippy. I've always thought it sounds like a Scottish word, doesn't it? But I thought this was absolutely beautiful. You know,
I say grandma's a Scottish word. I like that one better.
Yes, true. You know, definitely.
Nippy,
you know what I?
When it's nippy,
you know what,
you want a dram.
Yeah. We pour good drams. We're very good that way. There's no limit.
Oh yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Nobody says when. They just say keep going. dear, terrible place. We're all drunkards. I thought this was, you know, I was actually disappointed when I got to the end of it. I actually wanted more. I was reading it, and I'm going down, and I'm thinking, where's the rest? And there it was gone in a second. But, oh, so beautiful. As you say, the economy, the words themselves, limoncello leaves console with butterfly kisses. Just lovely. I mean, really. I must admit, I do like his stuff. It's stuff. What a heathen I am. I do like his poetry. It's really wonderful. It's stuff, honestly. Okay, has everybody commented?
We have someone staffing the studio because this next piece has a SoundCloud.
Oh, right. Okay. That will be coming up momentarily, I'm sure.
Well, there's the piece.
Is it Pam? Pam, my dear.
Pay no attention to the poem.
I think she said she was going to be there to load these SoundClouds. Am I wrong?
It's showing up over here.
After rain.
Here we are. Beautiful.
At the beach cafe, a tarpaulin hangs like a shroud across the stacks of silver chairs, and piles of mottled leaves block up the drains. The creeper on your balcony is overgrown, and often a light burns late in the bedroom you plan to paint in white and gold. These are the days of missing you. As this year, August did not wait to lift November, and the streets hang empty, as sometimes after rain.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Oh, my goodness me. They're beautifully read, too. Dan, would you like to comment on this, please?
Sure. I especially like this piece because when I do go to the beach, this is the season I like to go to. I don't really like all the tourists, and I really don't swim, you know, all that much in the ocean. But there, he has captured this feeling so well because there's a sort of a melancholy. It's really hard to explain, other than the way he explained it, actually. But I will say, I did get stuck on creeper. The creeper on your balcony. I took that the wrong way first because you do meet some odd people at the beach right around that time as well. But that's also part of the experience. But in all seriousness, these are the days spent missing you. There's a forlonging here that does kind of go hand in hand with this season at the beach. It's like the beach itself missing the tourists. And that's kind of what I got out of, especially this end, as this year's August did not wait to lift November and the streets hang empty. And, of course, he ends as sometimes after the rain, and that is when it is also the most quiet, because there's not even the locals, you don't even get the local foot traffic, and it's almost like being on an island at the center of the universe and nobody around, and that's exactly how this made me feel. They're really well done.
I agree with you. Agree with everything you say, definitely. Dash, what would you like to say about this one?
Well, the reed, I love his reeds. I love his voice, and that was a treat. As far as this rite, I keep using atmospheric and all of that, but the poetry today is taking me places, you know, very vivid places in my imagination, and it's amazing. I loved the creeper on your balcony is overgrown. And I found the last stanza a little sad. And the streets hang empty as sometimes after rain. That's beautiful. I think the period in this piece is like in August or in the fall, when the weather's changing, and I can picture it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with you. I was a bit like Dan when I saw the creeper on your balcony. I thought, hello, but then I understood when it was overgrown. Oh, thank goodness it's not a creeper. That's a bit scary. I was going different with him than the way I thought it was going. But yes, it's just beautifully, beautifully atmospheric. And it's, as you say, so sad. I usually start crying at this point, but I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try and be sensible. But poetry does move you. And when it moves you to either laugh or cry, I think you have to kind of go with it. Otherwise, you know, you're stopping up your emotions, which is not a good thing at all. Not at my age, anyway. One wouldn't want to be stopping up my emotions at my age. And I wonder if Bobby's back. Bobby, are you back, my dear? She said you had to step away for a minute, so she'll be back, I'm sure. So I'll just put the next one up. Now, the next one has a sound cloud. So this one is The Dry Riverbed Cascades by Peter Allen. Pam, when you're ready, thank you. Am I wrong? Is it not got a sound cloud?
No, I'll
just give me a moment. Let me just check on Revity Writers. There we are. Peter Allen.
It does have a sound cloud.
Yes, it has a sound cloud. But I don't think Pam hears me. Maybe she's not able to at the moment. She did say that I should tell her the name of the author, so hopefully. Well, let's just leave that one and go back to it, shall we? Because the next
hey, Weaver, that one does not have a SoundCloud in the studio, so just have somebody read it.
Peter Allen doesn't have it. No.
Correct.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Thank you very much. He's got one. Confuse us, please. No problem. I'll
take it. Okay, The Dry Riverbed Cascades with Clear Water by Peter Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I awoke to find that the river within no longer flows, that the shaded tree has died on the dry riverbank. Cherry trees that die in autumn never bloom again, nor will they vainly give color to dried branches. The tree of thorns no longer blooms. Flowers and berries withered in cold storms. But spring is here caressing the near horizon, and winter's rainy cascades refill my empty river. Above cloudless blue skies smile at the vermilion dawn. Fragrant air echoes with symphonies of birdsong. A tall, slender sapling spreads her new green leaves, and I sleep in the arms
of her tender foliage. End of poem.
Thank you so much. And Dan, would you like to comment on this, please?
I like how Peter started this out. And again, this is a little melancholy at the beginning, but somewhere here in the middle, I guess where it starts going, but spring is here, caressing the near horizon, it starts turning hopeful. So he almost takes you on a gauntlet of seasons change. And his word choice here is really well done. His winter's rainy cascades, I love that. Let me see if I can pick out a few others. The alliteration use, slender sapling spreads, asleep in the arms of her tender foliage. This is just another beautiful piece about nature. And again, I just like how he made that transition inside. And how many lines is this? 12 lines. He kind of takes you through the end of one season into the beginning of another, and just beautifully well done. I actually like a lot of Peter's pieces.
I agree. I do like to hear him reading his as well. He has got a lovely reading voice.
Actually, I think I just found the SoundCloud. I think it's at the bottom of this, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought, never mind, doesn't really matter. Right, Dash, would you like to make a comment about this, please?
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree with Dan. I loved how this started out, a little darker. And then somewhere it started to switch. And by the end, I felt like, you know, that scene in Wizard of Oz when Dorothy opens the door after the tornado and she hits the ground and it's in color.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this poem made me think of. Let's see, fragrant air echoes with symphonies of bird song. A tall, slender sapling spreads her new green leaves, and I sleep in the arms of her tender foliage. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That was lovely comments. Lovely. And Bobby, would you like to comment on this?
Oh, I always like his work. It is for brevity, it is so rich. With texture and color, and this is no exception. He's done a fine job with this. I especially like the same line that Dash just cited. So I enjoy his work very much.
Yes, I agree with everybody. I really do. I think it's it is the way he takes you. So it's quietly from the darkness and the dying around us of winter to the slow spring caressing the near horizon, and winter's rainy cascade refill my empty river. It's just lovely, isn't it? And it's so effortless. You're just going along with it, and suddenly you're there, two cloudless blue skies that smile at the vermilion dawn, and you sleep in the arms of tender foliage. That's just beautifully done, I think, with no big bangs and echoes and you know, whistles, just a lovely gradual flow from the darkness of winter to the yellow sprightiness of spring. I think it was beautifully done. Thank you very much, Peter. That was lovely. Right, and what we have next?
I have Bonfires of Bliss by Laughing Soul.
Wow, Bonfires of Bliss. That sounds lovely. Right. Dan, would you like to read this, please?
I'm not seeing it yet. Is it up yet? Am I muted?
You do have to. You just have to keep.
Next question.
You just have to keep refreshing at the top and it'll come. It's a little bit of an annoyance, that particular aspect of it doesn't come up for you if you don't refresh. How are you doing?
It's not coming up for me. For some reason, it flipped. Now everything's at the top. It used to be at the bottom.
I know, it's incredibly annoying. It's very odd. Yes, well, you've got it now. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. You wanted me to read this one?
If you would like to, that would be great. If you don't want to, I can always.
Sure, that's fine. This is Bonfires of Bliss by Laughing Soul. Tangerine sunset invokes a new morn, and silken weaves mocks the scarlet dawn. Lovesome cuckoos entice the blossoming flower. Chiffon petals drench in earthly shower. Beckons the cashmere rose vanilla skies, drizzle desires from her almond eyes. Burgundy lehenga tasseled in pearls. Ruby mantinga, dangles and twirls. Beaded hair cascade like gurgling brook. Henna palms bejewel the bridge's look. Rings in the hour of platinum vows. Her crescent aura oily vows. Margarita sunset ushers bonfires of bliss. Champagne twilights entwine in a strawberry's kiss. End poem. And I think I put a plural. I think I pluralized strawberry there.
That's okay. Not a problem.
I think you've got a video here, too. I always love hearing hers when she reads her own. But
I hadn't realized there was a SoundCloud until we got to the bottom. Well, will we just play it anyway? Will we just play? Ask Pam to play it anyway, because I do like listening to her.
I'm sure you did a better job than I did.
Oh, you did a lovely job. But, you know, as you said, it's nice to hear the words in the poet's voice. So I'm just going to ask Pam if that's possible. Pam, is it possible for you to put that SoundCloud up from Laughing Soul?
Bonfires of Bliss, a poem by Laughing Soul. Tangerine sunset invokes a new morn, and silken breeze knocks the scarlet dawn. Lovesome cuckoos entice the blossoming flower. Chiffon petals drench in earthy shower. Beckons the cashmere rose, vanilla skies, drizzle desires from her almond eyes. Burgundy lehenga tasseled in pearls, ruby mantika dangles and twirls. Beaded hair cascade like gurgling brook, henna palms bejewel the bride's look. Rings in the hour of platinum vows, a crescent aura coyly bows. Margarita sunset ushers bonfires of bliss. Champagne twilight entwine in a strawberry kiss. And boom.
Oh, now that was lovely. That was very nice to hear. So, Dash, would you like to make a comment about this one, please?
Yes. I love the rhyming in this poem. It's perfect. There's nothing forced about it. It's really remarkable. Let's see, there's so many lines that I loved reading. Beckons the cashmere rose, vanilla skies. Drizzled desires from her almond eyes. Her voice is hypnotic when she reads this. It's just beautiful. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. That's beautifully put. And Dan, would you like to comment, please?
Sure. Again, her voice is just, it's the kind of voice that if my wife walked in the room, I might get in trouble. She has that sensual quality to her voice. And she knows definitely the pronunciations of some of the words I'm not familiar with. But I liked a lot of her word choices here as well. And I agree that the rhyme is on point and not forced at all. But the two that I like the most, I think, and I looking over it, is Margarita Sunset and Champagne Twilight. That's just they're both describing the same thing, but they come at it from different ends. And I think both of them are spot on, and I couldn't think of a better word to it. You know, it's just, I love her work. I love reading her work. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's absolutely beautiful. And Bobby, would you like to comment, please?
In the technical aspect, the couplets are immaculate. The meter, the rhyme, spot on. It is melodic in its construction for reading. From content, she evokes so many beautiful colors and images. And I especially like in the center where she is actually in referencing, she's talking about flowers, but then she goes to traditional Indian dress, the burgundy lehenga, tasseled in pearls. Ruri mantika dangles and swirls. The mantika are the earrings. The beautiful earrings that they wear for weddings. And the lehenga is different from the sari, and the lehenga has a very full skirt. So it's you've got this wonderful flow of fabric suggested from her words. And then beaded hair, cascade like gurgling brook, henna palms bejeweled the bride's look. So she's woven the culture into the poem with such grace that you cannot separate the nature from the culture. And Margarita Sunset ushers bonfires of bliss, which there you go. You've got an evening wedding and rings in hour of platinum vows, her crescent aura coyly bows. This is such a beautiful it's very romantic, but it's also so elegant and so graceful and such a beautiful word picture. I've tucked it away in my favorites.
I am not surprised in the slightest. I agree with everything everybody said. I echo it loudly. It's beautifully done. I've learned things I didn't know. Thank you very much, Bobby. I love that when I learn things I didn't know about. I particularly like you went for the beaded hair cascades like gurgling brook, henna palms bejeweled the bride's look, because the intricacy of that painting on the palms of the bride's hands is absolutely beautiful, and it must take forever, but it just really, it really must do. So it can't just be one line. I'm sure they must go over it a few times to make it stay.
It's all freehanded. It's not stenciled. So you've got an artist basically painting on a small canvas the henna, which is supposed to be good luck.
Beautiful. Yes, I have to say, I really enjoyed that. And as you say, her voice is wonderful. And it's the fact that she's reading her words. I love that so much. It just adds so much to the readings as well. I mean, we like reading them. I love reading people's poetry. But it is also, you know, the other side of the coin, nice to hear it in their voice. So anybody who wishes to make a SoundCloud and send it in, please do, because you can hear yourself, which is fun.
Not only that, there's a familiarity that comes with the piece that, you know, for someone that outside of the writer to read it, they almost have to have read it once or twice first to really know how to read it well, I think.
But no, I agree.
Some people definitely do better than others.
I would have stumbled on those words as well, because obviously we don't know those words. And, you know, I have to confess, and I'm confessing now in front of everybody, I don't read the poetry before I come on the show. I know people do, but I love to come to it fresh. And then I listen to everybody else and think, yeah, I wish I'd said that. But, yeah, I'm kind of like that. I just fly wild. Right. Dash, have you commented? Yes, you have.
But I do want to make one other comment.
Yes, of course.
I have to read these poems as many times as I can before I, you know, comment on them. Because it's hard for me to hear a poem just once.
Well, exactly. You do what works for you. I completely agree with that. I mean, I know I should, because it would probably make it, as you say, you'd be able to understand it more, you'd be able to read it easier, but I just love the surprise. You know?
Yeah.
That's just me. Look, I've got a sad life. That's all I'm going to say to you, okay? I need all the excitement I can get. For goodness sake. Okay. Right, that was love. Thank you. That's everybody's talk.
Let me say your culture. Go on.
And
go on with it now.
Weaver, you're my hero.
But, sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you say that again?
You're my hero.
What did they say in your culture? Go on with it.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, you're so nice. I don't want to think what you say about behind my back, but you're just so nice. Thank you so much. You know somebody's got no self-confidence. You're very good to me. Thank you. Okay, Bobby, where are we going next, my dear?
We have, I have an oxymoron here. We have Morose Happiness.
I love an oxymoron.
Morose Happiness by Yandra Rossi.
Gotcha, babe, gotcha. And Dash, would you like to read this?
Yes, I would. Morose Happiness. Sorrow's covetous eyes upon unblemished happiness. Shows an inordinate desire to possess tranquil life, as a greedy dog stares at his owner's every bite of food, grasping tenacious ways, sorely try to oppress ecstatic days and sully joy like a stalwart underwater mountain rising above the dead calm ocean floor. In this aggressive arena, willpower is so wakeful to protect happiness from sorrow's disturbing hurt, building diligent defenses and fully armed, wearing a stunning dress made of hellfire. End poem.
Oh, wow. Very well done. Thank you. That was so good. Oh, that's an amazing, that last line. Whoa. Okay, Bobby, would you like to make a comment, please?
Certainly. This is a very intense piece. I think this is one of those pieces that Dash mentioned that you have to read several times in order to really fully grasp what the poet is saying. But in the first stanza, sorry about that, sorrow's covetous eyes upon blemished happiness shows an inordinate desire to possess tranquil life as a greedy dog stares at his owner's every bite of food. What an evocative image. I think we can all relate to it. And then it goes on to talk about how tenuous happiness is, and how fragile, and how in the last stanza they're defending it, fully armed, wearing a stunning dress made of hellfire. It's like I'm happy, damn it, and I'm not going to let you do anything to ruin it. This is almost afraid of losing that happiness. So this is deeply emotional piece.
Yes, I can see that, definitely. Wow, it is. Dan, would you like to make a comment, please?
Yeah, I totally agree. I love the construction of this. Excuse me. The comparing of the covetous eye of someone who's not as happy as you to that of a greedy dog looking at you while you're trying to eat. That's powerful in and of itself. I mean, anyone who's a dog owner knows what that's like. And then talking about, and I'm drawn to the first and the last stanzas, and like, in this aggressive arena, willpower so wakeful. I get the same thing. I get the where they talk about, where Miss Yossery talks about wanting to protect that happiness and building defenses and basically making a personality that is impervious to outside influences. And in a way, I see this from the person that is happy's perspective, surrounded by haters is, I guess, the easiest word to describe that. But I kind of lost my train of thought. But I also see that, you know, like it has the undertone of what you would call the emotional vampires, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
People that suck the joy out of a room. And, you know, I think everybody kind of takes turns at that sometimes, but there are people that do it more than others. And I really enjoyed this. Like you said previously, this is a very deep piece.
Yes, thank you. I agree with that, definitely. Dash, you read that so well. Would you like to make a comment, please?
Yes, thank you, Weaver. I think that this poem is compact, it's direct, and it's about a battle. It came to mind was the phrase, misery loves company.
Oh, yes.
And sometimes I think, I know, like Dan was saying, the vampires, sometimes when people aren't happy, they kind of have to bring you down. And you need to protect your happiness. And I think that's what this is talking about. Thanks.
Yeah, I get you both. That was a very great. That was a very good observation. I used to have coffee with somebody once a week, every single Wednesday, and that was an emotional vampire. When I left her, I wanted to slit my throat. I mean, really, some people just enjoy misery, as you say. I don't know. They like to spread it around. Well, spread around happiness instead, that's what I say. But you are quite right, all of you. This is a really powerful, and yeah, I love her stuff. Poetry. I love her poetry. Just really. Funny enough, it was the middle one that got me. Grasping tenacious ways, sorely tried to oppress ecstatic days and sully joy like a stalwart underwater mountain rising above the dead, calm ocean's floor. That one kind of spoke to me more. I don't know why. Other two are brilliant. Obviously they are, you know, a beginning and an end. But that middle part I thought was absolutely lovely. I could just see that. Ecstatic days and sully joy like a stalwart underwater mountain rising above the dead, calm ocean floor. Beautifully, beautifully written. Thank you so much, Rhonda. It was lovely. Right. And, Bobby, where shall we go next?
Gypsy Waters by Keiko.
Okay. I haven't got it yet, so just bear with me a second. No, I still haven't got it. Okay, who hasn't read for a little while? Bobby, would you like to read this, please?
Certainly.
Chinsa, you can see it.
Gypsy Waters. The village of dragonflies, I was born a vagrant, left to wander toward closing twilight. The vat of black oak embellished an aurate bow on my horizon, strung like Venetian tapestries that billow above chartreuse moss. I hum with voices of the lake, a Phrygian melody my mother once sung from the pages of antiquity. Pray guide me across Gypsy Waters. End of poem.
Thank you very much. That was beautifully, beautifully read. Thank you. And Dan, would you like to comment on this, please?
I see this was written to the image prompt that is here. And it's a beautiful image by itself. But it kind of has that, and the image and the poem has that Celtic feel to it. You guys are maybe a little bit closer to that than I am, but that's kind of what I got from that. And I think it starts out beautifully from the village of dragonflies. I mean, I'd almost want to watch a movie about that just from that one line. You know, that's the premiere. That's the whatever, the hook to get you to watch the movie. I'd watch it. I was born a vagrant, left to wander. I think that's just beautiful.
Yes.
I have to admit, ignorance as far as the word Vantablack, I'm not familiar with that word, and I'm learning all kinds of words here. But everything here is just beautiful, and it paints. I love it when the prompt inspire someone to write something that you no longer need the image. You could almost conjure up something very similar in your mind, and that's what this does for me. I love the reference to the melody my mother once sang. It's just, it has a very historical Celtic feel to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can see that. That's a lovely observation. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. That's lovely. And Bobby, would you like to comment, please?
It's a very elegant piece, I think it's very classical in its feeling and its flavor. Keiku has a very impressive command of vocabulary, and you can see that the writer selects words with great precision. An orate bow on my horizon, I hum with voices of the lake, a Phrygian melody my mother once sung from the pages of antiquity. Beautifully descriptive and precise. And this is a very skilled writer who uses the words like an artist uses a paintbrush, and not with great sweeping strokes, but with very precise touches of color here and there. So this is... not someone I normally follow, but I have just clicked on follow Keiko.
Good old. Excellent. Yes. And Dash, would you like to make a comment, please?
Yeah. You know, I am just blown away today by poetry because everybody is so compact, and like Bobby was saying, so concise. It's just amazing. I got kind of a, you know, like a fairy tale feeling from this, and a feeling like maybe somebody was heading out on their own and a little afraid of doing that. One thing I like about poetry is I like to learn new words. And I agree again with Bobby, technically, the words here are amazing. I had to look up Phrygian. And it refers to a melody with a change in a note to a flat or something like that. But
all right.
I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, as you say, it's great to learn new words. I mean, it's a little bit difficult when you're in the middle of reading something and you don't, you know, you're not terribly sure. But that happens all the time because people love. I think the beauty of this is they know it's going to be heard by people, so people are honing their work. They're bringing it down to its very essence, and pouring so much into a brevity. I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's such a good thing for people to, and I, I used to just scribble and send things off, but I learned I could actually write to a prompt, which I never thought I could. My first thought on this, and I know you were talking about the Celtic side of this, Dan, my first thoughts on this was The Lady of the Lake by Sir Walter Scott in the 1880s or 1883. I have his whole collection of his books in bound in really old leather, gilded pages, wafer thin. They are a joy. I love them. I must have about 30, maybe, all in my little bookcase, and I love them. So I read them occasionally, but it's hard work. But, yeah, this has made me think of that immediately. Her skiff coming along to the side of the lake and her saying, you know, I'm going to stay here because I feel safe here. I won't be setting foot on outside of this and not anybody will come near me because I'm on Lake Katrine or some of that kind of stuff that was going on. It was really, really lovely, but hard to read sometimes. But yes, that's what it reminded me of. So it does have that kind of mystical sense to it. And the words used are absolutely beautiful. I thought it was so well done. And as you say, see, it constantly comes up with some wonderful wordage. And I think it's beautiful. So thank you very much for that, Keiko, for sharing with us.
It reminded me of Undine, too, the myth of Undine.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a same sort of slightly... Same idea. That I'm in the back of my head. I'm trying to remember, but I won't pretend I, you know, completely remember it. Yes.
The Undine is a mythological figure of European tradition. It's a water nymph or sprite who could only become human and fall in love with a mortal man.
Oh, Splash! The film Splash. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for that. That's great. Okay, as everybody commented, oh, doing so well. We're doing so well. Okay, Bobby, could you tell us what's coming up next, please?
Just as soon as I scan down to the right spot.
No problem.
Make sure that I've also been tucking little notes into the chat board when we run across words that seem to be new to people. I've been quickly snatching up the definitions and throwing them out there. I thought
oh,
it
well,
might help.
Well done. Awesome. Yes, that is very well done.
I thought that might help with the enjoyment of the piece.
You have to do that all the time. Yes.
I have an unrelated question. I've been kind of keeping y'all on speakerphone. Is that messing with y'all at all?
No.
Are you getting Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Fine. As long as you mute when you're not speaking,
that's what I'm
going to
start doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely what
it keeps the background noise to a minimum. It sounds like you're in your sound booth, so no problem. Okay, here we go. We have Jack Blue.
Oh,
fantasy. Come on. There we go.
I got it. Right. Bobby, would you like to read this?
Certainly. I wouldn't mind. Okay, we have Dog's Life. A Dog's Fantasia by Jack Blue. I have noticed that I've read some of Jack's work, and if you notice on the right there, his titles are very intriguing. We have A Cat's Pavon, A Cat's Fantasy, you know, A Dog's Fantasy, A Cat's Pavon. Very interesting, which a pavon, by the way, is a dance. Dog's Fantasia, tired from the daily hell. A maid imagined happiness, but a funky frog was there just to make her faint away. Every day it popped aside and blew away her fantasies. One day, like a drunken witch, she bleakly kissed it farewell. Bubbling up like wizardry, it became a lovely night. Doubtfully, she took his hand and let it hold eternally. End of poem.
Oh, how sweet. So sweet. Dash, would you like to comment on this, please?
Sure. Let's see. There is the transformative kiss in this poem. And I think it's a metaphor here about going out on your own becoming independent.
Interesting.
Yes, very interesting. Thank you. I was on mute, by the way. Sorry. I just made a whole big long sentence going nowhere. Wonderful. Okay, that's lovely.
Brilliant,
thank you so much. Pardon?
I said you were brilliant too, weren't you?
Oh, I was. I was amazing. You would have loved the insight.
Don't you just hate that? reminds me of an article I read years ago. I couldn't tell you what the article was about, but I will never forget the title. And the title was, "Quiet, Please, While I Utter a Witticism."
I like it.
Oh, I loved it. I never forgot that.
That is so cool.
I like the whimsy of this. This is like an encapsulated fairy tale. You've got a maid who was befriended by a frog, and with the frog's persistence, he was able to win maid by when the maid found out that that not everything is as it appears. And he appeared as a frog, but when she appreciated his kindness and bestowed a kiss on him, she found that beneath that amphibious exterior was a lovely knight who had when she kissed him, won her hand. So it is a metaphor, I think, and it's like Dash said. I think it's for love, and it's for us to realize that appearances are not all they may seem. And someone who may be kind to you, even though they may appear unattractive, may hold something very special for you.
Very good point. Excellent. I'm only thinking in my head, if you want a handsome prince, you have to kiss an awful lot of ugly frogs. That's what's all in my head. That's a really good. Right, Dan, would you like to make a comment, please?
Now I'm just thinking about all the previous women that I've dated. You know.
And your frogs too.
How many of them think like you? No.
And have to kiss frogs too.
No, but I agree with everyone else. I think this reads like a fairy tale, and I love it just for that. I actually got into this poetry by writing children's books, and that took me down the hole of Hans Christian Andersen and, similar people like that wrote fairy tale. And this is like a classic old-timey fairy tale that you would see someone like Disney would redo. And I think it's definitely telling a story, and the story is easily being able to follow. And it's a pretty common theme too, just like, you know, you picked upon how you have to kiss a lot of frogs to get to your prince. And so, but these are the kind of stories that are timeless, because they keep getting told again and again and again, because they speak to people. And I enjoyed his version of this as well. And I'm getting a lot of spam calls. I'm sorry. I'm happy in my comment there. But, yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes, it was. I thought it was lighthearted, but it told the story, and it pointed to the fact that, we can't go by what's on the outside. We really shouldn't. I mean, we will. We always will, because we're wired that way. A beautiful woman is beautiful because her face has a specific proportion, like a child would have, big eyes, little nose, and tiny little pointy chin kind of thing. That in the male eye is something that's very nice to look at. We don't think about it as women, but that seemingly is supposed to be what makes a woman beautiful, is the proportions of her face. So I don't know. I don't look at men. As far as I'm concerned, it's all in the eyes.
So I evolve with you, saying.
It reminded me of a fairy tale that was read to me in grade school, European fairy tale about this child in the village was lost. And the villager said, well, what do your parents look like? And the child said, oh, my mother is the most beautiful woman in the world, and my father is the most handsome man in the world. And so they brought all the attractive people in the village to the child and said, well, which ones are your parents? He said, no, the child said, my parents aren't here. And by and by, the parents looking for the child happened on a group of people, the crowd of people, and the child proclaims, there are my parents. And these were two just common peasants, but in the child's eyes, they were the most beautiful people in the world.
Oh, so sweet. Oh, I like that.
And I forgot that.
We have. I think, what's it, beauty is as beauty does. It's a case of if you can be kind most of your life to people, it will show in your face, I reckon. Because I can see a sort of resting bitch faces. They're not very pleasant.
But we have Are you ready? My SSM.
I sure am ready. Okay, I'm going to read this one because I've been doing nothing. I'm ashamed of myself. This is... by SSM. Sierra Mike for Bobby. The tide of time is about to turn. Your turn is about to come. It's the darkness before the dawn. Are you ready to give your all? The tears, the fear, the sleepless nights, the anxiety levels reaching their heights. Now face this final test with calm. Are you ready to give your all? Believe, my dear, with belief in heart, whatever you desire, you can have it all. Buckle up now, it's the final call. Are you ready to give your all? End poem. Lovely. Bobby, what did you think of this one?
This is a definition of love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is like cooking. It should be entered into with abandon or not at all. Believe, my dear, with belief in heart, whatever you desire, you can have it all. Buckle up. It's the final call. Are you ready to give your all? And that refrain is at the end of each stanza, and I like it. Face this final test with calm. It's darkest before the dawn. And especially if you are searching for love, if you haven't any and you desire it, it is darkest before the dawn. And this whole piece is just so elegant in its simplicity, but it talks of the desire and the search for love. And once you find it, are you ready to commit?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very good point. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't usually do this, but I got something out of this, which is obviously not apparent to anybody else. It's just the way my mind works. But I'm thinking, this is a lady about to give birth. Because the tears, the fears, the sleepless nights, the anxiety levels reaching their heights. Now face this final test with calm. Are you ready to give your all? That was what made me think. I mean, obviously not, but that's the way my mind was going, and I thought that was so sweet. That believe and you'll get what you want. Your heart's desire will be there. This is the final call. Are you ready to give your all? I thought that was just lovely. Right, Dash, would you like to make a comment, my dear?
Sure. Yeah, I felt like this before the show.
Oh.
Today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was reading it. I thought, I feel like I have a coach, you know, because I was really nervous about, being on one of these shows. So I think it's a very optimistic poem. Like I said, I read it before the show started, and it kind of got me pumped up and ready. Thanks.
Good. Yes. Listen, I can totally relate. I am nervous all the time. Sometimes I'll decide I can't do it because it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And other times I think, no, I can do this. Other people can do it. Why can't you do it? I think it is just because you know people are listening to you. You know, it's quite scary. I find it quite scary. I don't talk to many people much of the time, so this is a complete aberration for me. And so I do, I totally understand. But you're doing brilliantly. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll be with it. They keep telling me, they lie. It's not true. Oh, dear. Right. Who's not spoken? Dan, have you made a comment?
I don't know if anyone said this yet or not. I may have missed it because I was fumbling around trying to find it. I stepped away for just a second. But what I get out of this is it's kind of like that saying, you can only be courageous when you're afraid. Only this is love, and you can really only prove your love when there is hardships. And that's what I got out of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that is really the only time, you know, anyone can love a billionaire, but when they're broke,
yeah,
then you get to see if they are really in love. That's what I took away from this, but I love how everyone kind of got something different out of it too. I think it speaks to poetry in general, in the fact that it doesn't really matter how well you write it or construct. Well, it does. It definitely does. But even if you did the best job constructing it and delivering it, it also depends upon the reader as how it will be interpreted. And I think it's great that we did get different interpretations out of this. All around enjoyable piece.
Yes, I agree with you. I also find that fascinating, the way people take from their own experiences or from their own point of view, they can take a different thing from that one, even a picture prompt. You know, everybody writes about something different. I think it's wonderful. Ah, yes, so many minds out there having fun. Okay, Bobby, I see you have the next one up. Who hasn't read for a little while? Please tell me. Who hasn't? Who would like to read? Nobody. I like it. Dan, would you like to read this one, please?
Sure. Let me make sure I got the right one up.
Orion Scorn.
Looks like I did. Orion Scorn by Garden Delights.
That's it.
City lights, sooty pointillism, tattoos on nighttime's chest. Wealthy woman, spurned by Orion, tossed jewels into her darkness. They never bought her love. Heavenly arms, embracing her soul hurt in poem.
Thank you. That was beautifully read. Thank you very much. And Bobby, would you like to make a comment, please?
Very soulful. City lights, sooty pointillism, tattoos on nighttime chest. Very, very imaginative visual imagery. Wealthy woman spurned by Orion, tossed jewels into her darkness. I think if you don't have a knowledge of who Orion is, you're lost. Other than the constellation, it is the huntsman who Zeus placed among the stars. The Greek huntsman, he was the trying to remember the god. It was a demigod, son of Poseidon. But you know, she's in love. She's tossed her jewels after this individual because she feels spurned by them. The jewels never brought her love. It speaks of, I think, materialism and the fact that you cannot, what's the phrase, money can't buy you love. You know, money can't buy happiness. It just makes being miserable so much easier to take. but she's got heavenly arms embracing her soul hurt. And this comes close to a phrase I've used, which is called touch hungry. Which is when you've not had human affection. She's soul hurt. She's not felt love or human affection. And this is regardless of her wealth and beauty. So this is an interesting, I think it's deeply philosophical. It's very cerebral, right?
Very, yes. Thank you very much for that. See, we're learning all the time. It's absolutely wonderful. Dash, would you like to make a comment about this?
Yeah. Thanks, Bobby, for that little lesson on Orion, because I wasn't aware of the story. I knew from the beginning, city lights, city pointillism, that something was up. And I see it goes along with the image very nicely. But on a deeper level, I think it has something to do with judging a person maybe by the way they look or something. And I think the poem is trying to say you can't buy love. I think you said that as well. It's tragic. And well done. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, you're right. Very tragic, and it is. I mean, you can't even begin to think about the people out there who don't have that fundamental love that people expect from life. You know, I know someone who was married very young, and then that marriage dissolved, and they're still on their own, and that's like 35 years later. That's, you know, it's tragic, man, tragic. Doesn't bear thinking of. Bobby, would you like to comment on this?
I did.
Oh, thank you. I haven't got your name scored. Oh. I do apologize. So, Dan, have you spoken about this one?
I haven't. I'm sitting here trying to deconstruct it a little bit. And I think sometimes, because I am a guy, I don't catch on to certain things. But I like how it starts out here with city lights being almost like pollution is the way I take that, city pointillism. A tramp stamp maybe on nighttime's chest, or just a tattoo. I mean, I personally like tattoos, but not everybody does. I don't really have any, but that's not the point. But I love the imagery here. Wealthy woman spurned by Orion tossed jewels into her darkness. That's the stars to me. They never brought her love. And it, to me, it's almost like when Garden Delights wrote this, they were looking at the picture or perhaps even went outside and just looked up at the stars and just made up. You know how in history we've made up all these anthologies of gods and goddesses, just based off of natural wonders. But this almost looks to me like, as writing this, Garden may have went outside, looked up at the stars and said, this is the story that's speaking to me right now, and Rim wrote it. But I think it's great. I just, honestly, sometimes I think I might be a little too shallow to catch on. And it's definitely not, again, it goes back to the reader. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do like it. I think the word choice and the brevity of it is beautiful. Every word is carefully picked and constructed. And that's what I take away from it.
That would be a lovely idea, wouldn't it, that she'd actually gone out to have a look and, you know, get her her muse from the sky above her. That would be a lovely thing to do. And then coming around, as you say, it could be another little god up there that's been brought to our attention by Garden Delights, which I think is lovely. And Bobby, I was the same. I was thinking Orion. I was just thinking about Orion's belt up in the sky and wondering
yes.
where the rest of them was. Now I know where the rest of them is, and I'm very pleased. Thank you.
And the in her AN, she's credited the. She's got an attribution. The image credit is a NASA from 2 days ago.
Oh, my God, I didn't see that. Thank you.
So how beautiful is that?
That is just, I think that picture is beautiful. Okay.
It's
now, have I got everybody this time?
I think you did.
Thank you. Right, so what do we have next?
I'm harvesting it as we speak, and the copy, and thank God for clip and paste.
Yes.
Oh, I threw some more definitions in there too.
I see that. Thank you.
I hope I'm not being too helpful.
Oh,
like,
no, please. It's great that you can do that.
My late partner, I heard, Bobby, you're helping too much. All right.
Oh,
no. Definitely not. Everybody needs help.
Educate.
Yearning. We have Yearning by Nyx Lenore, which is interesting because Nyx is a Greek goddess of death and the night.
Wow. Okay. Right. I'm going to read this one, people, if you don't mind. Because I like that word, yearning. Makes me think of interesting things. So Yearning by Nyx Lenore. I reach towards the light, closer and closer. I feel the warmth of my fingertips, feel it spread through my being. It's like a phantasma, and I feel as if I'm flying, higher and higher, until I pull back, afraid. Afraid of getting burnt. Afraid that this light is not meant for bloody hands like mine. Afraid that the world holds no place for sinners. The high within me lows, the darkness within me lights up. Grounded once more, I watch the flame and feel all warmth, cold again. End poem. Dan, would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, this, the way Nyx did this, especially at the very end there, it kind of gave me chills. And then you feel the warmth turn cold again. You can tell that this person feels like they're not good enough. They don't measure up, and it almost turns their blood cold is the way I read that. But it's also kind of, to me, almost felt like a parallel between, what is it, Icarus, where trying to reach, flying too close to the sun. I think it has a little bit to do with imposter syndrome, personally. And that's, you know, something that I struggle with from time to time as well. I think almost everybody does, but a yearning to be more than what you are. And some of the word choices here, afraid that this light is not meant for bloody hands like mine, afraid that the world holds no place for sinners. There's a little bit of self-hatred in there as well. Just a very deep piece. I enjoy it very much.
Yes, yes, I agree. I like the depth of it. There's more to this than meets the eye initially. And this is where I should be like Dash and read things more before I come on. And talking of Dash, would you like to make a comment, please?
Yeah. This poem it seems very personal. And person doesn't think they deserve something. And I don't know why, but they captured that feeling very well in this. I think they're depressed and suffering from anxiety, worrying about everything too much. Thanks.
Thank you for that observation. That's very interesting. Thank you. Bobby, would you care to comment, my dear?
Yes, I was reading the notes. It said, I'm curious to know how you interpret this piece. This is also my very first free verse poem. So this is the first effort. And I think it's a splendid one. I get the same sense that here is a person that is reaching for not greatness, but for validation. Reaching for validation, and I get toward the end for redemption. Afraid of getting burned, afraid that this light is not meant for bloody hands like mine. We're looking for redemption here. Afraid that the world holds no place for sinners. But there's still that glimmer of hope. The light within me lows. The darkness within me lights up. Grounded once more, I watch the flame and feel it's all warmth. Turns cold again. It's it's like the person, the people I've known who feel as though they are unworthy of being loved unconditionally. And when they are offered that, they don't feel like they're worthy of it, or they question it. And that's the sense I'm getting from this, the feeling of warmth turned cold again. Is the warmth turning cold because of the people outside or because of the person's self-doubt?
I like that. I like that connotation very much. What I got from it slightly was, here is somebody who needs, and I'm not saying this person is the person who wrote the story, the poem. I'm saying the poem is about someone, and this someone needs to forgive themselves, desperately needs to forgive themselves, because until you can understand yourself and put that behind you and put your foot forward towards something that is lighter and makes you happier. But this first step has got to be, when someone has a mindset like this, you must forgive yourself, because you'd be amazed how much other people can forgive. It's amazing sometimes. And but I understand so much of this, because this is kind of me, more or less. So maybe I've got more of an insight than more normal people might have. But yes, I think it's all of it's there, and it's heartbreaking. And
I would encourage folks. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. I would encourage folks. This is a new writer. This is a new writer. It's a new member. She's got 5 pieces out there. So I would encourage everyone, take a few moments and comment on this piece, because for new writers, getting the feedback is so important.
Oh, well put. Well put, my dear. I agree with that. Yes. Put fingers to keyboards and let's have your mates. That would be so good, because it does help. I mean, you know, you don't know. You're putting everything you feel down on the screen, and you don't really get anything back unless people like us say something. So, yes, that's very well put. Thank you. Well done. Right. I think everybody. Is everybody? Yes, everybody.
My dear Burbage. My lockdown larks.
Oh, lockdown. Okay, Dan, would you like to read this, please?
Yeah, let me get it posted real quick.
Thank you.
This is by Lockdown Larks, my dear Burbage. I must tell you forsooth of this summer dream, a witch conjures Bluetooth, her tomb, her thoughts are, excuse me, let me start over. I'm sorry, I wasn't quite there yet.
No problem.
My dear Burbage, I must tell you forsooth of this summer dream, a witch conjures Bluetooth, her thoughts and airstream. Crucify me not, it is just my fantasy, and merely a plot for some alchemy. My very dear Burbage, Bluetooth will be king, Lear is just garbage, when airwaves can sing. What madness is this? Dear friend, think again, there is no such kiss of an invisible refrain. It was a nice thought, but I beg of you, it is but not of taming of the shrew. Ah, well, good friend, of course. I so respect thought of Bluetooth. I will end gracious. Thanks for your connect. In peace.
Lovely. Thank you so much for reading that. That's great. Bobby, would you like to comment on this, please?
Since I stopped laughing. Lockdown has got the beautiful turn on the language. He's got the flavor quite there. And for those who didn't know, but Burbage, I believe, owned one of the theaters that that Shakespeare used to perform at. One was the Curtain, and I believe the other was the Rose. And poor Burbage. I was the producer. Lear is just garbage when the airwaves can sing. I'm looking for precisely the right word, and it's escaping me. This has got some sarcasm to it. What madness is this, dear friend? Think again. There is no such kiss as of an invisible refrain. And I love the references throughout of the different the different pieces from works from Shakespeare. It is naught but To Taming of the Shrew, which is actually my favorite. But this is, it's a great piece. It's a lot. It's very a very wry tongue-in-cheek humor, and looks like Lark had a lot of fun writing this.
You can see he did. I agree with you totally. And Dash, would you like to comment, my dear?
Yeah, I wish I knew my Shakespeare better, for sure. But I felt like this poem bounced or had a nice rhythm to it. And, you know, some sarcastic humor throughout. It's well done. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, Shakespeare, obviously wonderful, but so difficult. And some of his phrasing to understand. I mean, I've read a lot. I'm Scottish. And one of my classmates was reading something or other. I don't actually remember what it was. Could have been something about Shakespeare, about Caesar. Must have been Caesar. And you know how he's attacked by everybody with the knife and stabbed. And he was supposed to say, the line was supposed to be, "Ah, Brutus," or something like that. I think it was. And he said, "Accia, Brute." Everybody was in fits, being Scottish, "Accia, Brute," instead of Brutus, which I thought was very funny, but obviously doesn't translate. Yes. dear me. I know. All right, who hasn't spoken? Dan?
Yeah, this was a pleasure to read. It bounces. I really, really enjoy that. And I did like a lot of the references to Shakespeare in here. I had to look down to the notes to get the verbiage, too. But, like, in the first stanza, it's got Midsummer Night's Dream. And you go down here, there's King Lear and Taming of the Shrew. And there's probably more because I'm not big up on my Shakespeare either. But I'm sitting here trying to – it almost looks like a letter that has been composed that, you know, supposedly I'm assuming Shakespeare is writing to his friend. And what kind of gets me stuck is the Bluetooth. And it makes me wonder if this is just a – like if Shakespeare was around today type of piece. And, Shakespeare is basically saying that nothing that I'm putting out is nobody's listening to anything I'm putting out because, nobody's attention span is there. But, and that may be totally off. I don't know. But I'd have to study this one. There's a lot of a cleverness in this that I'm not sure I'm quite connecting with yet. I'm definitely going to come back to this one and see if I can't figure
it out. And you captured it in a roundabout way. You're basically saying, would Shakespeare be a hit today? Would he be popular?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I kind of know. You know, and we consider him a master, but I don't think the attention would be there.
But you seized on it. I mean, you grabbed it right there.
Yeah, it's I think the first stanza must be about the Scottish play with the witch coming into it.
Bubble, trouble, boiling bubble or something like
yes,
that.
That's
yeah.
The one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was actually in a film of that of the Scottish play. I played a peasant. It was the best fun ever. Got all dressed up and
Yeah, for those in the audience who are unaware of the theatrical superstition of actors are very superstitious about, they never say Macbeth. They always refer to Scottish play. and if you want to see something absolutely hilarious, there was an episode of Blackadder where he has employed actors and he keeps saying Macbeth. And you see the horror of the actors doing this little ritual to try and dispel the evil spirits brought upon by
that.
Saying the word Macbeth.
I saw that. It was hilarious. Yes. Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah. I got that. I love the fact that
that's the superstition. The actors do not say, they say the Scottish play.
Mm-hmm. it's a very amazing superstition. It seems to be true.
Yeah,
it looks like it. So I thought this was amazingly clever. I loved it. My very dear bird bay, Bluetooth will be king. Lear is just garbage. So King Lear, he's out. When Airways can sing. I mean, it's so clever. I didn't quite get the what madness is this, dear friend, think again. There is no such kiss of an invisible refrain. I didn't quite get that. As you say, you would have to sit and think about it and read it a few times, but that was absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. Now, everybody's commented, I think. So where are we going next?
Okay. Well, I'm plugging in another little piece of trivia. Why is Macbeth called the Scottish play? I just plugged that in there for those who would like that. And now we have, let's see, going back to, we have, your orchid is a secret haven to love. And let me plug that in there right now. By, oh dear, we have, we already read him. Do we want to read him again?
No, we'll go, no. Yeah, everybody gets one. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay, let's moving right along now. Well, you know what? So he can assign blame properly. I'm going to put up mine.
Yes.
Yes. I've usurped him. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And will I be glad to read it? Yes, I will.
Yes.
Whoops,
thank
I
you.
Did it again.
Oops, I did it again.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The electrons are not cooperating today. Let's try this again, once more with gusto. Every once in a while, the electrons get their own notion.
Oh, I know it.
Here
I know it.
Here we are. Okay.
Where is the poem? Where can I pick up?
Song of Sunday. We have it up there right now. It's on the in the chat room, the inbox.
Yeah, Song of Sunday, yes. Dash. Have you got it?
No, but it's okay. I'll be fine.
If you just refresh or go to Brevity, you'll probably find it. It will be there. Just refresh your screen. Okay, my dear Bobby, on you go.
Doke by Captain B2. Song of Sunday. Gray morning. Darkened bedroom. Roll over. Bury my head in the pillow. Next to yours, sink down in the bed, cocooned, snuggled twixt warm sheets and the cozy quilt covering us. Open bedroom windows, curtains flutter in the cool breeze, the sound of the rain outside, nature's white noise lullaby, singing us to sleep. It's Sunday serenity, sweet peace, quiet comfort, robes and slippers, hot buttered, toasted, homemade raisin bread, and morning coffee with you. Dolce far niente. End poem.
Oh, lovely. That was so nice. Right, Dan, would you like to comment, please?
First, a question. What is the quote at the bottom? Dolce far niente? It sounds familiar, but I'm not.
Dolce far niente. Means in Italian, how sweet to do nothing. Dolce meaning sweet. Fa is the noun or the verb to do. And niente is nothing. How sweet to do nothing.
I like it.
That somewhat sums up the whole piece, doesn't it? I mean, you're doing things. And I love this, by the way, because it just has that familiarity that you spoke of earlier. In that cocoon snuggled warm sheets and the cozy quilt covering. Oh, great alliteration, by the way. It's the sound of rain outside, the white noise lullaby. It's just mm-hmm. like a rainy day, nice, peaceful, rainy day where you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to get on a radio show. You know, I love it. And I think it's beautiful as a hot buttered toast. The home, everything speaks to comfort and it's really well done. Enjoy it. I'm liking it right now.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, it really is beautiful. And we have 3 minutes. So, Dash, if you would like to make a comment, my dear.
Yes, thank you. I did find the poem. And it's a delight. It describes the perfect morning with someone you love. And it's described so perfectly, it's like you're there. Really, really beautiful poem, Bobby. Thanks.
Thank you. And Bobby, I reiterate what everybody said. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I could feel the curtains flutter in the cool breeze and the sound of the rain outside, nature's white noise lullaby. I just thought it was beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm glad you put it up because it really is lovely. And
time to read it.
Yeah. Really, really beautiful. I want some of your homemade raisin bread, please, immediately, with the coffee.
Oh, all right, well, come on, I'm making some today.
Yay, I'll be there.
Yes,
we'll all be there.
What I would like to hear is, because we don't often get to hear it, is what, I mean, I think we're on the right track with what you did, but I'd love to hear your inspiration or you know, where your headspace was when you wrote this. Since you're on here, and we have you.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend, and unfortunately, timing is not right. We are very close. Unfortunately, he is not on the market. We speculate about what we would do on rainy Sunday mornings, and this is what comes to mind for us.
Oh, my darling.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Oh,
so
and I'm going to cry.
Who do we need to bump off? Don't name any names.
Yeah,
don't name
you
any
get
names.
Them. Dan,
Dan,
you get them high, I'll get them low. Oh, man.
Don't tempt me.
Thank you for sharing
and
that.
I will make a confession here to you three. If you read my poetry on my list of Hearts in the Balance,
mm-hmm.
he is my muse.
Oh, beautiful. And so heartbreaking.
Thank you for sharing that with us, really, seriously.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
I will redirect you to a longer piece. It's called Only When You're Away. Only When You're Away. And it talks about what you feel when the person you love is not with you.
Mm. Oh, I know that feeling so well. Well, that was, I tell you, that was lovely. That was a beautiful ending to our little time together. I want to thank you all for coming and helping. I wouldn't have been able to do it without you. Never be able to do it without you. So, Dash, thank you so much for coming. Please join in again. Dan, you did very well. And don't get lost. And Bobby, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm putting the link up for that piece right now. In the box.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I think you could do it by yourself personally, but that's, you know, agree to disagree.
Thank you. I do too. I agree. Hey, I'm in violent agreement with that.
A big shout
out. But it's delightful spending time with you.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Well,
ciao a tutti.
Yes, and goodbye from Scotland.
Everybody have a good rest of their day.
Ciao, bello.